Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
And a very good morning to you on this Monday, April the 25th. Welcome to Africa Link. I'm Mark Caldwell in Bonn, Germany. Coming up, today is World Malaria Day, and sub-Saharan Africa is still struggling to eradicate the disease.
Efforts that everybody's putting together, that is our communities, our government, our partners, everybody has come together to fight malaria.
And Congolese music icon Papa Wemba has died after collapsing on stage during a festival in Ivory Coast. Stay tuned to this edition of Africa Link, which also includes another installment in our radio drama series, Crime Fighters.
Top story.
Today is World Malaria Day. According to a report by the World Health Organization, almost 440,000 people died of the disease in 2015, and 9 out of 10 of those deaths were in sub-Saharan Africa. However, there has been some progress towards the long-term goal of eradicating the disease. Privilege Mushaniri in Harare tells us about efforts to control malaria in Zimbabwe.
A bite from this buzzing mosquito can take you to your grave if it is carrying malaria. Like many other countries, Zimbabwe is fighting to eradicate malaria. According to a year 2000 baseline study, Zimbabwe used to register 136 deaths per 1,000 population, but the numbers dropped significantly to 29 by end of 2015. The number of malaria cases has fallen to below 500,000 per year, with about 350 deaths. Health officials are happy with the decline in deaths, but few numbers are still high. Fortunate Manjoro, a social behavior change officer under the Malaria Control Program in the Ministry of Health.
Efforts that everybody is putting together, that is our communities, our government, our partners, everybody has come together to fight malaria, and every contribution in malaria matters.
At Gacha Gacha Clinic, a remote area along the shores of Lake Hariba, 400 kilometers northwest of Harare, Gadzraima Teme, a primary care nurse, is treating malaria patients.
Normally, we give mosquito nets, especially to under 5 pregnant mothers, but at times we do programs which cover the whole population of Gacha Gacha. But due to the limited resources, sometimes we'll be screening, giving under 5 and pregnant mothers, because there will be at high risk of contracting malaria.
He says limited resources often hamper effective control of malaria. In 2000, the Roback Malaria Partnerships brought in resources targeting the most burdened districts. This included Kariba. Margaret Shamu, a Kariba resident, is grateful for the malaria control programs.
My clinics, hospitals, Kariba.
Our clinics and hospitals here in Kariba make it a point that when you go in sick, even if it is your leg in pain or other disease symptoms, you are tested for everything, including malaria, because they know this area is malaria prone.
Efforts to end malaria in Zimbabwe have faced challenges. They include the long distances that people from remote areas have to travel in order to reach a health center. In Gacha Gacha, roads are inaccessible during the rain season, and health workers rely on boats to ferry patients across the lake to Kariba town. Despite the challenge of limited resources, the Zimbabwe government is committed to eradicating malaria by 2020.
Privilege Mushaniri reporting from Harare. If you've just joined us, today is World Malaria Day, the aim of which is to raise awareness of the disease and the need to continue to combat it. In Cameroon, close to 20 million bed nets treated with insecticide are being distributed to protect people from the mosquitoes that carry the disease. Most of the victims are children and pregnant women. From Yaoundé, Maki Kinseko reports.
These children are in pain at the pediatric ward of the Marua Central Hospital in the far north region of Cameroon. More than half of the 60 admitted children suffer from malaria. Cameroon's Minister of Health, Andre Mamafuda, visited them as part of week-long activities in the build-up to World Malaria Day.
657,000.
Our staff recorded over 600,000 general cases of patients coming for consultation and treatment. After diagnosis, 75% of these patients were found to be suffering from malaria, which shows the gravity of malaria in Cameroon.
Donc devenu des cas de paludisme grave.
Mamafuda says over 2,000 people, especially expectant women and children, including Nigerian refugees escaping the Boko Haram insurgency, have so far died of malaria in northern Cameroon this year, adding that he has improved hospital facilities and staff to attend to the overwhelming number of patients in hospitals.
Le premier axe, c'est la prise en charge d'État.
We are now equipping our hospitals with rapid diagnostic tests and anti-malarial drugs at subsidized rates. Secondly, treatment of uncomplicated cases of malaria is free for children from the moment they are born up to 5 years old.
Cameroon is also distributing insecticidal treated mosquito bed nets as a means of rolling back malaria. The increase in the number of malaria cases in Cameroon is also attributed to resistance people are developing to treatment. Kwake Simon Fozo of the Global Malaria Fund says they have been encouraging the use of recommended medication. Dr. Tala Esther, an anti-malaria activist of the Cameroon Coalition Against Malaria, says Cameroon should make sure its citizens don't only get but use treated malaria bed nets.
We have good quality and highly subsidized anti-malarials that circulate in the system. But we still realize that people leave those good quality medications to go and buy from roadside vendors. What I'm sure about is that what we have circulating in the system is highly subsidized and good quality.
In 2015, 7 million people in the country of 22 million people visited health services because of malarial attack.
Mark Ikenseka reporting from Yaounde.
Africa Link, every weekday on DW Deutsche Welle.
To South Sudan now, where rebel leader Riek Machar is expected to arrive in the capital Juba this afternoon and join a transitional government with President Salva Kiir. But this is not the first time his arrival has been announced, and it was delayed on three separate occasions last week. The United States Special Envoy to South Sudan, Donald Booth, said yesterday the repeated delays had called into question both parties' commitment to their peace agreement. He warned that the UN Security Council was due to meet on Tuesday and that both sides could face additional sanctions. From Juba, Wahe Simon Wudu sent us this report.
The disagreements between Riek Machar and Salva Kiir's government centered on Machar's demands to come to Juba with the additional weapons and close to 200 troops. But mediators were able to engage the government to relent to the demands for the sake of peace to prevail in the war-torn country, as confirmed by South Sudan's Minister for Information, one of South Sudan's representatives on the Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission, Michael Makwe, spokesman.
Even though this demand of the SPLM-AIO and the request of the partners is not in place, nevertheless, the government of the Republic of South Sudan has accepted the coming in of the 195 SPLM-AIO forces together with their requested 20 RPGs and 20 PKMs with their basic loads.
Makwe says the decision was endorsed in a cabinet meeting held on Friday and chaired by President Salva Kiir. Mabior Garang, the spokesperson of the SPLM-IO, Machar's party, also confirmed that the government had officially written to Machar's office giving him clearance for his weapons and a landing permit at Juba International Airport.
I am obliged not to hesitate to inform your authority that the permit is hereby granted. However, the National Security Services regrets that due to maintenance of the Juba International Airport on weekends and delay of note verbal by Ethiopian Embassy, the two diplomatic aircrafts will only land on Monday, 25th of April, 2016.
Jock Madud Jock, a researcher with and the director of Soot Institute, a think tank analyst organization in South Sudan, told the Dutch Vela that he was not surprised by the messy arrangements for the return of Machar to Juba.
It is the nature of the SPLM generally, where even the government sometimes issues contradictory messages. And so the ability of the SPLM as a party to organize and to be on the same page with all its officers and with the membership of the party and with the whole country is lacking. So why should we be surprised about that this is happening with Riek Machar, when in fact that is the history of this country, where we don't organize things properly?
Jock says the two parties have a lot to work on, especially improving trust between them, a factor he says may jeopardize the effective implementation of the peace agreement.
This agreement was signed begrudgingly, and therefore the mistrust has built up, and it is making it difficult for this arrangement to go smoothly. So my interpretation of the many times when Dr. Riek was said to come to Juba but didn't come is a direct result of that lack of trust.
Machar has already missed three deadlines scheduled for him to arrive in Juba from his rebel territory of Pagak, located in the northern part of the country.
Waka Simon Wudu with that report, and we'd like to apologise for the burst of interference in the middle. It's only April, but 2016 has already turned into a sad year for music. David Bowie is dead, and so too is Prince. There was yet another blow over the weekend when the King of Congolese Rumba, Papa Wemba, died in the early hours of Sunday morning after collapsing on stage in Ivory Coast. He'd been performing and recording music for the last 50 years. Isaac Mugabe has this tribute. Maria.
The King of Congolese Rumba, Papa Wemba, was one of the biggest icons in African music. He was also known as the driving spirit behind a cult movement known as Saper, whose members, mostly young men, hit the town in designer suits, often spending huge amounts of money on their clothes. The Democratic Republic of Congo's culture minister, Bodwe Banza Mukale, confirmed Papa Wemba's death on Sunday, describing it as a great loss for the country and the whole of Africa. Papa Wemba will also be remembered for taking part in major music events, including a concert in London for Nelson Mandela's 90th birthday. Here he is with his hit Yolele.
Papa Wemba with Yolele, and that brief tribute was by Isaac Mugabe. And now, as always on a Monday, time to join the Learning by Ear team for another instalment in our series, Crime Fighters.
Deutsche Welle, Learning by Ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hello, and welcome to Crime Fighters. Drugs to Cure, Drugs to Kill. Written by Mukoma Wangugi. This is the second episode, The Good Doctor. The three detectives Kalumba, Salamisha and Chokbank are investigating the death of 21-year-old Peter, who overdosed and was found with various drugs beside his bed. It is not yet clear whether he took them willingly or was murdered. After the detectives visited the house, they met Fuma, Peter's parents' houseboy, at a bar called The Lounge. He had something to tell them, but their conversation was interrupted.
As soon as Fuma left for the bathroom, the bartender, the doorman, and a customer who'd been sitting at the bar drew guns and fired straight at our table. Chokbank immediately drew his gun and kicked over the table so we could duck behind it. I reached for my gun and took out the bartender. Salamisha shot the doorman, while Chokbank got the customer who'd been pretending to be drunk. Most of the other customers ran out when the shooting started. Those who remained were frozen in fear. When we came out from behind the table, the preacher man was still standing, trying to comfort a few shaken souls who'd sobered up in a hurry.
Repent, my children. Repent. Walk to the Lord, for he has saved our lives. He has saved our lives, preserved us from the fate of the wretched, the thieves, and murderers. Follow me to find your true salvation. Follow me.
Where's Fuma?
Still hiding in the toilet.
All right, I'll go and check on him.
Walk to the Lord, for he has saved our lives.
That preacher man, what a peculiar fellow.
What are you trying to say?
Well, consider the timing. He happened to show up just before the shooting happened. He could have provided the distraction.
Salamisha! Chokbank!
Kalumba, are you okay?
Kalumba!
Where is he? Can you see him, Chokbank?
Kalumba!
I'm okay. It's Fuma. He's dead. Shot twice. Twice through the heart. A professional killer. Must have happened during the commotion. Someone must have followed him here.
Let's check to see if he has anything on him.
No, don't touch him. We should get forensics here first.
Right.
There might be something that'll lead us to his killer. It couldn't have been those three out here. His killer must have escaped to the other customers. Maybe there's some DNA. Perhaps he used the toilet.
Yeah, I agree.
What was it Fuma said before he went to the toilet? That we should look around?
The lounge itself is our lead. We need to go through everything here. Call and tell headquarters. Let forensics collect what they need, then we'll tear the place apart, plank by plank. We need to go through the books, find the patrons. The lounge is where we'll find the clues.
In this dangerous situation, a number of things became clear to me. First, Peter's death was not a suicide. He was murdered. Second, we were going to find out who killed Peter. And third, I had a premonition that Salamisha, Chokbank and I were not all going to survive this. After forensics had dabbed around with their little sponges and cutted the bodies away, we ripped the place apart. It was when we pulled up the floorboards that we found them. All sorts of pills, some labeled for malaria, AIDS, tuberculosis. And then the hard drugs, cocaine and heroin. We estimated the street value at about 20 million Ketagu shillings, over $2 million. A call to headquarters quickly established that the owner of the lounge was one Dr. James Kamkuta, a respected surgeon who shot to fame when he performed the country's first open heart surgery. He was so well respected that our president appointed him his official health advisor. It made no sense. Why would he own a bar or sell drugs when he was already filthy rich? The next morning, tired beyond belief, Salamisha and I paid him a visit. Chokbank would have enjoyed meeting the doctor, but of course I'd called in sick.
Thank you for seeing us at such short notice, Dr. Kamkuta. I'm Detective Salamisha, and this is my partner, Detective Kalumba.
Partner? A lucky man indeed. Naturally, I'm very curious about why you wanted to see me. You must be very busy, so I suggest we dispense with pleasantries and get straight to the point. What can I do for you, detectives?
Doctor, do you know a bar called The Lounge?
Yes, I know it, because it belongs to my brother. What happened there? Did somebody break in?
We'll ask the questions if that's okay. Why are the license and title deed in your name?
Every family has a black sheep. Ours is my younger brother. He did everything wrong. Dropped out of high school, got involved in petty crime. Then later on, things got much worse.
And what is this much worse?
Drugs. And what they made him do. He started robbing shops, then banks. During one robbery, he was shot. But fortunately for him, he didn't die. Instead, he was arrested. I'm telling you this in strictest confidence, detectives. It mustn't come out.
We can't make any promises, I'm afraid. Especially if it means denying people justice.
But you must ask yourselves, is justice for the living or for the dead? If your justice is for the living, then what I'm about to tell you absolutely cannot come out. It will do us all more harm than good.
Just tell us what you know. We promise we'll work something out that will satisfy both the living and the dead.
All his life, my brother wanted to own a bar. I wanted to become a surgeon. He wanted to own a bar. We all have our dreams, right? But of course, with this record, he couldn't get a license.
Oh, come on. With your money, you could easily buy him a license.
Listen, when I did the open heart surgery, the president asked me to be his personal doctor. It was good for the country, he said. Show the world that in our country, politicians didn't have to go to America or Europe for treatment. Said it would make Ketagu's citizens believe in their country and president. I didn't want to do it.
Why not?
I'd worked hard. Years and years of 15, sometimes 48-hour days. I had made myself into the man I'd become. Do you understand? I was my own God. And he wanted it all for himself. For it to be all about him. I'm no longer the Dr. Kamkuta. I'm the president's personal physician. Now do you understand?
Okay, go on.
The next day, I got a visit from one of his goons, straight out of The Godfather. He said he had an offer I couldn't refuse. Either I worked for the president or my brother would go to jail for life. At that point, I realized I had no choice. I should just try to get the best deal possible. I asked to be paid very well, to be allowed to continue my private practice and for my brother's criminal record to be erased. I was told I'd be paid well, but my brother's record couldn't be wiped. That's how blackmail works. They kept it there as leverage. So I did the next best thing. I opened the lounge for him in my own name. And now he's ruined it all again, hasn't he? What has he done this time?
Where can we find your brother?
I'll give you the address. His name is Malinya. Here is his home address.
Thank you, Dr. Kamkuta. We'll see ourselves out. Salamisha, shall we pick up Chokbank and go and see the brother?
I hope Chokbank's awake. We'll need him in case things get heavy.
What will the detectives find when they visit Dr. Kamkuta's brother Malinya? Join us next time to find out. In the meantime, you can visit our website, dw.com/crimefighters. And feel free to comment on our Facebook page. Bye-bye for now.
And back here on Africa Link, a reminder of our main stories before we leave you. Today is World Malaria Day, and we've been hearing about efforts to eradicate the disease in Zimbabwe and Cameroon. Music icon and king of Congolese rumba, Papa Wemba, has died at the age of 66. And after several delays, rebel leader Riek Machar is expected to arrive in the South Sudanese capital Juba this afternoon, where he is to join a transitional government. Please remember, we welcome your comments on this program. You can send an email to feedback.africa@dw.com, an SMS to country code 49 160 957 595 10, or a letter to Africa Link, DW 53110, Bonn, Germany. As always, thank you for listening. Do join us again at the same time tomorrow. From me, Mark Caldwell. Bye now.